Welcome along to the Shona Project podcast. I'm Alison Curtis, and as always, with me
is me. I was like, is who?
It's Kevin Darcy.
It's me. Hi, Alison. I want to show you something. Wait, like, I know people who are listening cannot see this, but look at what I got.
I know, that is so great. A brand new microphone. That looks really fancy.
I got a really fancy microphone because listening back to previous episodes, I just find sometimes I sound muffled. But now I'm a professional.
Yes.
So I need fancy mics. So I hope I just sound like honey now to you.
Well, you do actually. And I know I talk about things like that mean a lot to me physically, like psych, you know, as in physical things. And we lost a wedding band last week before we recorded, and I nearly lost my mind, found it. But I have to say, along with the wedding band and photographs, my microphones and headphones are my favorite things.
Oh, well, I think this will be one of mine. So
yes.
An investment.
We've been getting such a great reaction, Tammy. And again, like we, you know, the topics that we could cover of just rolling and rolling and rolling. And there's so many we still have yet to do. Got a great reaction to Freya being really honest about her experience in secondary school, your daughter. That was fantastic. But we thought that it would be great to get someone back on air who we really trust and who we love, who kickstarted it with us, actually, because so many questions have been coming into the email.
Yeah. So the emails come into me, and we have like loads and loads of great suggestions for certain topics. Like, we're going to definitely do one on girls in sport, how to keep girls in sport. We're going to try and get one on like the conversation about sex and consent and all of that kind of stuff. But a lot of the emails that came in were just like really frustrated about not being able to get on the same page about, you know, this kind of tug and push pull of girls wanting to be able to explore their own womanhood and us as parents just not being comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like a small thing, but I've been in it and I know what a stress it is. Lots of parents like just really frustrated and looking for guidance. So we thought today we'd bring Joanna back and put a few of those questions directly to her.
Definitely. And Dr. Joanna Fortune provided such great advice and kind of the cornerstone for entering into the teenage years. And we kicked off the Shona Project podcast with her. She had advice in that episode. It's the very first one. People can go back and check it out, that I put into practice immediately. And it did improve my relationship with my almost 13-year-old girl.
Yeah, like definitely I've learned a lot over the last couple of weeks and months. But it, again, it's that nuanced piece about, you know, your child doesn't get to 18 and is a child until they're 17 and 364 days. And then the day they turn 18, you're no longer able to influence them or worry about them or have input into their decisions and any of that stuff. It has to be a process. And at what stage does it start and at what stage does it finish? And a lot of the emails that came in were like parents just being genuinely concerned about their kids. It's not like that we're out to get them or we want to ruin their fun. And then we also know that a lot of our concerns are our concerns, and that maybe we need to deal with that ourselves a little bit and not put that on them. But yeah, I think it's really, really important that we get Joanna back on for this chat. I'm actually really interested to hear what she has to say.
Excellent. Let's get her on.
Joanna, it's so good to have you back. You are such a wealth of information. I missed you the last time. Alison got to chat to you all by yourself.
We had a great chat, yeah.
You did. But I have to, you know, we've met a couple of times over the years and I've recommended you so many times and your work because you just make it accessible and practical. So this week now, I think these are tough questions that I'm going to put to you because sometimes there's questions that come in and we're like, well, we know the answer. It's just, are we able to apply them or, you know, we have to change our habits. But these ones, I genuinely don't know the answer. So we've had a lot of questions come in and very, very similar, sometimes even the exact same wording, a lot of frustration. We have picked three kind of snapshots of those emails. And I'm just going to, if you bear with me for 2 minutes, I'm going to read them out to you and then I'll ask you the question. So, okay, email number one. Now we have a daily battle over fake tan, fake nails, fake eyelashes. We have no problem with her wearing tan, but she insists on caking it on and it being orange. Huge eyelashes, and to be honest, she looks ridiculous. None of her friends have any of this stuff. There's no talking to her at all. Everything just turns into an argument. We try to explain that she's allowed the tan and the lashes, but we want her to tone them down and she refuses. I'm so stressed out, I'm actually physically ill. I understand pushing boundaries, moody teenagers, but she went from this lovely, warm, well-behaved number one student to a grumpy orange person none of us recognize. So that's email number one.
Yeah.
Okay. Email number two. She's on her phone too much and I can hear her fighting with her friends and the language she uses is really awful. I don't know where she gets it from. Myself and my husband never use language like that. She stays in her room all day, never comes down to be with her family and now has started to not go into school. She's no interested in anything outside of nails, makeup and eyelashes. She slams doors and says awful things to me. We really feel like we're losing our child. It's causing fights between myself and my husband. He's too soft with her, always dropping her places and collecting her and giving her money, and there's no consequences for her behavior. That's number two. And then number three, which is slightly different, but I still think the undertones are the same. Love the podcast so far. I would like to hear some conversations about how to help overweight teens. There's always conversations about eating disorders, but not so much about how to help your daughter if she's not one of the stick thing models like so many other girls are. There's a huge pressure on body image. Her genes are predisposing her to be a bigger build. She takes after her dad and she never says anything, but I feel for her. I'm afraid to bring it up or put much emphasis on what she eats. I don't want to make her feel worse about herself. It doesn't help that she gave up sports and is not very active. I try to encourage her to go out for walks with me or her friends, but she gets cross when they bring it up. So, Joanna, there's two themes and two kind of questions here that are coming out of all of these emails. And this is just a sample. As I said, there's many, many. Number one, when you feel like you're working against not just your daughter, but sometimes the other parent. So there's like three different arguments going on and how that impacts the entire family and how you find that middle ground. And number two, which I think is a really important one as well, is where is the line when it comes to how much input we should have on how our girls dress, how and how their bodies look? Do we have any right to comment on or police what they wear? And where's the line when it goes from, you know, like gentle encouragement to actually harming how they feel about themselves? So go.
Just wind me up. There's so much in what you said there with layers. And I don't know the specific ages of the teenagers in mind, but it's funny that in my head, I'm going to early adolescence when you're reading those. I'm seeing 13, 14, maybe 15, that kind of beginning stage of adolescence, because in early adolescence, the changes that are going on are so intense, not just for the teenager, but also for the parent or parents mm-hmm. of that teenager. And often we're finding, and this comes up, like nothing you've said there is hitting me as, oh gosh, that's completely out of the blue. I've never heard that. Actually, it's reminding me I hear this all the time. And I don't say that in any way to minimize those challenges for those families, but actually to remind everyone, you're not alone in this. This is quite a universal feeling. One of the things that we see in early adolescence are these adjustments that occur. And I think we touched off this the last time I joined you, Alison, you know, talking about this, but it's worth kind of exploring those. In early adolescence, we go through a process of, you know, we want more privacy from our parents. We want, you know less, you want to know more. It puts us all on edge going, what is going on that I don't know about? It's challenging, but it is quite normal for a teenager to want to keep things from us and to have their life private and their own. Now, of course, within all of these adjustments, none of which are terribly pleasant, and all of which are normal, you will always get the, but what they're keeping from me is pretty serious. That's an exception to the rule. Generally speaking, your teenager telling you a bit less, not a pathology we look at, that's quite normal. Another of those adjustments, though, that comes up a lot in what you just said there is the process of estrangement. Our teenagers are neurologically wired, are psychosocially predisposed to establish themselves as other than us. They will go through a phase of experimenting with fashion, friends, tastes, musics, everything they can to say, whatever I am, I'm nothing like you. And I will pull away from you in that process, part of which is that task of adolescence is autonomy, you know, is independence. It's to establish myself as an independent person in the world. My approach to that can be quite clunky and clumsy because I'm actually still trying to find my sense of self and who I am. This is exactly when I'm going to be doing the tan, the lashes, you know, everything that was listed there. I would be approaching anything to do with our teenagers' bodies, teenagers in general, but specifically we're talking about teenage girls when it is at a very early stage of adolescence, quite emotionally loaded. I would approach that cautiously, very, very cautiously. And I would be thinking, first, why does this bother me? Is it that I think she's not, you know, looking great for herself? Am I concerned what other people are going to comment on? Because I would say to you, if you can look at this, that your teenage girl is in the midst of trying to rediscover who she is, and that is such a very difficult task developmentally, imagine doing it through the lens of social media and all of those images and influences and the constancy of all of that comparison culture and how the effects of influencer life. Experimentation for me is always playful. I think when you're experimenting with things, you're playing. I want our teenagers to approach their adolescence in as playful a state of mind as they can because it's actually what's going to get them through it. And if I'm experimenting with hair dye, I'm experimenting with piercings, I won't say tattoos because there's a permanence to some of that experimentation that will keep us all on edge. But actually what I'm doing is I'm playing with who else can I be other than who I am now. With some of that fake tan stuff, I'm also trying to look like another, somebody else. I'm trying to look like whoever it is I follow. And I'm not even going to throw a name out, but whatever icon that I look up to. And it may be that person's skin tone and, you know, array of makeup artists and style consultants is not available to me, but I'm still emulating that I want to look like them. So mm-hmm. I would approach it insofar as, you know, I've noticed you were running low on your tan, which is in a super dark shade. And so while I was in the shop, I picked this up. I read about it in a magazine. I heard it's a really good product and really good for your skin. I thought you might like to try it. And you've purchased something. So I'm not saying you look ridiculous and your tan is cakey on you, but I'm approaching it more in a gentle, compassionate way because teenagers don't need us as their parents to point out flaws in their body. They are hyper aware, like hyper aware of every minute flaw that doesn't, we don't even see. They're already there. I think we have to be very careful. And I noticed as you were reading those, Tammy, there's a thread about self-esteem coming up for me. Mm-hmm. And self-esteem takes a huge battering in adolescence. There is a ton of research out there to back this up, that my sense of self is very fragile. I'm discovering who am I? Who am I in relation to others? And how do I fit within the world and environment around me? Just as I had to discover that at 2 and 3 years old, that comes into sharp refocus in early adolescence. And I need help, but I'm not going to ask for help because that's very hard for me to do. And I'm also at that stage of development when fundamentally I think you as my parent know nothing. You haven't a clue. You don't get it. You don't understand what it's like for me. So the very person I need help from, I'm neurologically predisposed to see you as unhelpful. So you can imagine that internal ambivalence and push-pull of I need you, but I don't want you. And so I'm in that internal struggle. And then when you come in with you're wearing too much, those lashes are too long, and actually you look ridiculous going out, you're just raining down on my already fragile sense of self. I need you to come in and say that lip color is really good on you. Here's one that I like to use during the week, during daytimes. It's not so bright because actually I prefer to use bright colors at the weekend or the evenings or when I'm out socially. But this is the same brand. So it might feel similar. It's really moisturizing. It's really good for your lips. I just thought I'd get it for you if you'd like to try it. You're much better off approaching it in a gentle but solution-focused way. Now, in saying that, there are certain things in what you said there that I don't think we can totally shy away from. Because some of that comes down to health and well-being. Yeah. Like one of the trickiest ones you mentioned there is not about the tan and the lashes. It's actually about how do I have a conversation with my teenager who is overweight? And yes, a lot of talk in public discourse is about underweight teenagers, but actually there are more teenagers who gain weight and are so clinically, medically overweight than there are underweight. So it is something we need to take seriously and talk about. And it's not just because of physical, medical well-being, it's also because of the emotional well-being. And I think in that snippet you read out, that's what I was hearing, was a parent who says, look, genetically, there's bigger bodies in our family. That's how we're. But I was hearing, oh, but you're worried about your teenager's experience of that and how their social experience will be. So there's something in this for all of us, I think. You know, if no matter what shape your teenager is, we need to raise our children to be very aware that bodies come in all shapes and sizes, all abilities, all colors. And that doesn't start at 14. That starts way back at 4. And it starts with a diverse, inclusive set of books in the house, diverse, inclusive set of toys in the house, and being very aware of how we talk about our bodies and comment on other bodies on the TV or in magazines or on social media. But our teenagers, our children, by the time they're teenagers, are aware that there isn't an ideal type of body, that we talk about what our bodies can do rather than how they look. And we talk about healthy, happy bodies. And that doesn't mean they fit into a certain size of clothing. It's about healthy and happy. And if you're looking at your teenager and saying, because I was aware there was, has stopped doing sports, has stopped, I'm thinking, okay, there's other things going on here. Which came first? Was the weight gain what made me very self-conscious on the sports field, that I wasn't as fit, I wasn't keeping up, I didn't like wearing the shorts, I didn't like wearing the sports kit required of me? Is that why I stopped going? Or did I stop going and then gain weight? Because you can talk to your teenager and say, you know, something we all need to be aware of in our family is that our bodies tend to gain weight quicker than some other bodies do. And in our family, we have to make sure we stay active. It's part of what keeps us healthy and well. And you're talking about it in a more collective sense. That's something it's just who we are as a family. It's what we're predisposed to. It's something we have to be aware of. And then I think as the parent of a teenager, I would ask them to help you. I would say, I'd really like to develop new habits. I'd really like to get out now that the evenings are getting brighter. I'd really like to get out and go for a walk every day. I don't want to do it on my own. Would you come with me? Would you do me a favor and come with me? It'll keep me accountable because I won't want to let you down any evening. And it's something that we could do together. Do you think you could do it for me? And I think if you do it that way, teenagers are very clever. She may well, I know what you're up to here, but you could that with such sensitivity that actually you're enabling me to avail of what you're making available.
Yeah, there's no judgment in that. And that's what they're like. That's kind of the words that if I heard those words in that email, I again, understanding it, but that's what I as a teenager would see. And that's why I thought you were a great person to bring this to, because there's lots of nuance in what's been said and not said in those emails around, are you concerned about her weight, or are you concerned about how society is going to treat her based on how you were treated? And like you, me and Alison all grew up in a world where we knew you would be rewarded for looking a certain way. The girls who are this get more, right? So, you know, the bigger you are or the less beautiful you are, the less trendy the area, the less cool your stuff have, the harder your life is going to be. So, and I mean, that's still the case, but that's why it's very, very difficult sometimes to separate, is this what's best for her or is this my own kind of judgment? And that's what she's going to pick up on.
Do you know, Tammy, I think that's there's something in that that from a generational lens we do need to be mindful of, because I'm very aware when I was growing up, the body ideal was not just slim, it was skinny, like it was super, super thin and, you know, at all costs. Whereas, you know, now if I'm in the gym, for example, I'm looking at, you know, younger women in their early to mid 20s, say, and they're not pursuing the skinny, they're pursuing the strong. And I do think there has been a shift in how exercise and bodies are viewed. And I think looking at something like that, not to be afraid of a space like the gym, because I think that if you have a bigger body, a space like the gym can be very off-putting and intimidating. And that might not be where you want to start. But actually, gyms have changed. They're communities now. There's an entirely different culture there. And there are certainly choices within gyms to choose one that is like that. But it's really about reframing it that we want our bodies to be strong. We want them to be healthy so that they can do what we need them to do. And I think we have to start reframing it. But if I grew up, as I did, at a time where healthy bodies were actually not healthy bodies, okay, this, you know, how it was described was very underweight, I need to challenge my stereotypes. I need to challenge my, you know, held beliefs so that I don't inadvertently project that onto my daughter. Because I think, well, if you're skinny, you're happy. If you're skinny, you're well. If you're skinny, you're thriving. And actually that I go, is that true? Or might that just be something that I'm predisposed to? So actually challenging it and getting back to what do I want for my daughter? And I would say universally in those letters, I want my daughter to be happy and healthy and well is what's coming across. I want her to have friends. I want her to have a social connection, and I want her to be able to enjoy life. I think in all of the questions you read out, that's, there's no parent there going, I really thought I'd just make up a list of ways I could criticize my daughter and rain on her self-esteem. Can you help me with that? Like, one of the things we have to be really focused on in adolescence is that we get interested in what interests our teenagers, because it teaches them they're interesting. And we want them, because for self-esteem, if our teenagers grow up knowing they're interesting, they will bring stuff to us because they know we want to know. So we really want to avoid minimizing, dismissing, or in any way being derogatory to what really matters to them. And a certain...
Joanna, you're such a reset again. You're such, like, the first episode, I swear I've listened to about 17 times. And every time I get another nugget of information, I go, I'm going to apply it to our lives. And you've just done it again. You're just incredible.
But it's, do you know what it is? I think sometimes we look at these questions and go, this is such a big topic. Like, this is huge. How am I going to approach this huge thing? And the truth is, small changes make big differences. And if we, the one person in each of those letters that parents can make a change with easy is ourselves. We can start with us a lot quicker before we go in with our fix or change agenda and go, how can I fix you today? And I'm screaming against a soundproof wall of a teenager who's like, la, 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 you haven't a clue. You don't get me. If I could say, as a teenage girl, how would I need to hear this message? And what difference would it make to me if somebody approached me in the way I need to be approached? That helps us know, what's my in? What's the beginning here? Or even going back to your own teenagers, because adolescence is a universal experience, you know, that it may have not been fake lashes and fake tan, but it was something. It was definitely something. And how, if you came out of your bedroom and you were dressed head to toe in black with your pale face and your stringy hair and you were, you know, with your 16 hole docks and, you know, your parent went, where are you off to, Morticia Adams? You know, how did that make you feel versus someone saying, hey, you spent a lot of time in there getting ready. Are you ready to go? Let's go. And we pick our battles. Everything cannot be a battle because there's going to be enough battles in adolescence.
Agreed.
Agreed. Just have to be sensitive about how we approach this. And it doesn't mean shying away, because again, I do think there are things in those letters that I'm like, yeah, okay, no, we don't dance around it. Because later on, your teenager's going to show you a photo and go, how could you have left me leave the house like this? That was so irresponsible of you.
And well, actually, can I go back to that a little bit, right? Because, you know, we talked about, I 100% agree with what you're saying about just having compassion, those conversations. And my daughter's an adult now, and I remember having conversations with her about her eyelashes that, you know, I just felt they looked like caterpillars. Your tan is all under your neck here, and there's a line. Looking back, I'm like, did it really matter? But there is kind of an other level there where it comes to, you know, like sexualization, where they're trying to dress in a sexual, provocative way, or what we perceive to be that, right? And, you know, the classic get back up them stairs and come back down with something proper on you, or, you know, how did it take you so long to put on so little, right? They're the comments that our dads would have always made back in the day. But like, is there kind of a line there where they're actually dressing provocatively or in a more sexual way that we actually feel like this is not okay? And how do you approach that conversation?
Well, I think there's something else in that conversation. I think what motivates those comments and reactions is not our teenagers' clothes, it's our fear. I actually think fear is behind all of how are you dressing. It's not about how you're dressing. It's that I'm afraid of what might happen to you when somebody who has a different agenda crosses your path and that you won't be safe. It's fear. And when we parent or when we do anything out of a place of fear, it is never our finest moment. Okay. We will make mistakes when we make assertions and statements out of a place of fear. And clothes are just clothes. Clothes have only ever been clothes. And experimentation and a changing body in adolescence and looking at how does this look on me? How does this appear? And trying on clothes and being playful with that and dressing up with my friends and getting ready to go out is often the best part of the night. You know, it's the part that's way better than whatever happens wherever we're going. And teenagers will tell you that. And you know that yourself. I think I would be honest, if your teenager comes down in something and you're saying, Joanna, I hear you, but I cannot let my 14-year-old leave the house wearing underwear. I cannot do that. Okay, now we're into what's a red line issue for you. And I think we have to own this. All of us as parents have red line issues and we have parental preferences. I would prefer that your skirt was longer. I would prefer that your eyelashes were thinner. I would prefer that your tan was blended. They're not essentials. A red line issue is a parental essential. I can't negotiate on an essential, but I can on a preference. And that's going to keep me sane in my daughter's adolescence because it helps me to pick my battles. And it also helps her to know that I won't fight everything. That I might make a statement. I might say, oh, you know, would you not consider? And if they go, no, fair enough, it's your choice, let's go. Because that's something I am in the range of preference. But if you're saying, no, I can't do that, then I want to own it. And I want to say, that color is so beautiful on you. And I know that you've been up there and you've made really good choices. But I'm afraid of letting you out dressed like that because I'm afraid of what somebody else might think or do. And I can't hold that person accountable. I can't stop them. So I'm trying to protect you. I can't let you out unless you put something else on. But I'm not judging you. And I'm not saying you're provocative, you're sexualized, you're doing this. I'm saying I don't believe the world is safe enough to let you out dressed in a way that other people are going to confuse because I can't control them, but I can protect you. And I know you're cross with me. And you know what? I'm kind of cross with me and I'm cross with the world that I have to do this, but I'm your parent and I have to do it. You're not leaving in that outfit. Change and I will bring you. But
that right there, that right there is the gold. That's what I needed to hear because you're right. It's not their fault that they're at risk in the world. And that language that you said, where you said, I can't control the world, but I can protect you. I was a little bit afraid you were going to say, I can't control the world, but I can control you, which I knew you wouldn't. But it's almost like the bite back on that is going to be, well, that's their problem. It's not my fault. So that was so helpful, what you just said, because that's the nuance that I think a lot of us struggle with. What do you think, Alison?
Brilliant. As always, like Joan, I'm literally going and saving this piece of audio onto my phone. So like when Joan comes down in years to come, I'll be like, just pause, rewind. So, and then I'm going to say this. It's actually perfect. Awesome, Joan, I know that you have to go. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
I would just add there that you just said, I'm going to say, okay, pause. I actually think if we could take nothing from this other than a parental pause button, actually think that's crucial because sometimes we react rather than respond. And what's missing between the two is the pause button to reflect. Because actually, if I can catch something and say, okay, I'm having a big feeling in this moment. Why? Why am I having a big feeling? Where is this coming from? What is it about? Take a breath and respond. Even if it means saying, give me 5 minutes, give me 10 minutes, and I need to come back to you on this. Take the pause because when we don't, we make mistakes. And if you make a mistake, own it and tell them you're sorry. Make repair. because mm-hmm. actually we have to keep our connection with our teenagers, especially our teenage girls. I'm thinking, before I do let you go, Tammy, of that dad who's taking his daughter off out when the mom has said something else and they're having a row with her about how angry she is. And I do think there's a lot of anger in our teenagers and our teenage girls, a lot of aggression. I think some of it is they never get a break from their friends. And you know yourself, when a relationship becomes too intense, people get in your nerves and you're more prickly and you're more reactive because you haven't had a break. And sometimes taking someone out of the house for that drive is the break that they need, mm-hmm. the break in the situation, but also helping our teenage girls to take breaks from their friendships and just put the phones away, just to kind of give each other some breathing space. That's often what's behind that anger. But parenting on the same page, do you know what? Sometimes even if there are pages in the same chapter, that'll do me. You mightn't be fully on the same page, but at least be in the same chapter. That actually is very important. Yeah. So if you're finding your teenager is splitting between you, and because they'll work out quickly, if I go to dad on this, I'll get this reaction. If I go to mom on this, I'll get another. That can't happen. That is something we can take charge and control of. Mm-hmm. We stay on the same page so they see us as a united front acting in their best interests in a way they may not always like or appreciate.
That has actually already happened in our household. And I was determined. I was like, this isn't going to, history's not, her story's not repeating itself. It is. And it is like that dynamic. And, you know, but because literally like a bomb can land in front of my husband and he won't react. Like he is just completely Mr. Zen, whereas I'm like, I do unfortunately go from 0 to 10 very quickly. Thank you so, so much for your time.
This morning. A total pleasure. Absolutely.
Oh God, I love her so much. She is a wealth of information. I know, again, we were saying before, it's not necessarily a visual medium, but look at the notes I made for me personally to apply in my notebook to Joan a little bit later on. She's brilliant. Dr. Joanna Fortune, will have her on again. And that's us for another episode, Tammy, isn't it?
That's us done again. Another, every day is a learning day. And we'll see everybody next week. Please send more questions. By the way, thank you so much to everyone who sent in those questions, because that was, you know, they were really vulnerable and honest with us. And it was representative of all of the questions that we got.
So we really appreciated it.
Podcast@shona.ie. And we'll try and do these again if there's anything else we can talk about. So have a good week, everyone.
Till next time.